one's gone bad. You may remember it as being one, the prodigal son. But in the context of Luke 15, it's good to remember that Jesus is being accused of being friends with sinners and looked down upon by the Pharisees. And so in verse 1 of chapter 15 in Luke, he says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him," that's Jesus, "and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" I mean, he hangs out and he enjoys sinful people being with them. Okay. That's followed by Christ telling three parables. The one about the lost sheep, the one about the lost coin, and then, of course, our focus of today on the lost son. And the emphasis is that when the owner of the sheep found the sheep, when the owner of the coin found the coin, and in giving a reality example of this in the human world, what happens? There is joy in the presence of God and angels when one sinner repents. If you can imagine, last night a good football team scored 6 goals, and every time they scored, you know, it's like the crowd erupted, and then the other team scored, and it went back and forth. It was 6-3, 9 goals, and I think 6 of them were scored in the second half. It was really exciting, you know. Well, this is going on in heaven. Something else is when someone comes to faith on this planet, heaven burst out with great cheers and adulation. God's done it again. Look at his grace work. And the music and the angels and the joy that goes on there. And this is the point that Christ was trying to make to these Pharisees. And that's the context we find today's passage. Two sons gone bad, Luke 15, 11 through 32. If you have that, follow along with me. I'm going to read the whole passage and then we'll go through it fairly quickly. "And he said, 'There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants."' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, 'What these things mean?' And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might eat, that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found.'" Let's pray. Father, this story is probably familiar to many of us. But Holy Spirit, take the very words of God, the living words of God, and pierce my heart and get into the hearts of my friends. Help us to see the Father's love more and more clearly. The great grace found in Christ Jesus. And it's in His name I pray. Amen. Well, the first son we want to look at is the most obvious. The young son is lost in pleasure. And it's best typified by that word, give me. Give me, give me, give me. Give something to me. And what did he do? Well, one day he decided he wants to split. And he says, Father, will you give me my inheritance? I haven't been around too long, but longer than most of you, 60-some-odd years, but I've never heard of anybody saying, Dad, can I have my inheritance now? I know some people who die and they leave trust for their kids and they say, you can't touch till you're 30. You know, they want to make sure their son or daughter will be very responsible and won't squander the wealth. But particularly in the Middle Eastern culture, no one would ever ask their dad for inheritance, because to do so would be, Dad, I want you to hurry up and die, would you please? It's that insulting. And this is what he's done. Now, it's one thing to keep in mind that this wasn't like, you know, this farmer father had all this cash. And then he did not. No, it took him some days. He had to take livestock, sell it, whatever. But the younger son said, Father, give me the share of the property. Not many days later, then he journeys off to a far country. And what does he do there? He parties all the time. Very attractive partying is, having fun. And then what happens later on in the story, after this lawlessness of life, this 24/7 party, the money runs out, and famine hits, and he becomes a pig boy. For a Jewish person, they did not eat pork, and to become a herder of pigs was just the lowest job there was. And the money runs out and the famine hits and he becomes a pig boy. This photograph depicts misery to me. He's so hungry. He's really hungry. He wants to eat the pods that hold the leaf that holds the bean. He wants to eat the pods just to fill himself up that the pigs are eating. So it's pretty bad. This 16th century artist, that was his depiction. But there's fruit that comes out of this pig pen, and that's in verse 17 to 19. He came to his senses. He comes to himself, and he repents. And here's a photo of him coming to his senses. Pigs in the background there. And he doesn't have any clothing. He's hungry. But he comes to his senses. The ESV reads, I think the version you have in your hand says, and he came to himself. If you want to know who you are, you can't know who you are unless you know who God is. If you want to know who God is, you've got to really understand who you are. It works both ways. And when you come to what you were made to be, you and I are creatures made by a creator. This is His plan. We did not come because of something magical that happened in the universe. Everything that came to be, something out of nothing, came from a God who spoke. Your life, you are created in His image. And you're being created in God's image. You will never be satisfied, and I will never be satisfied, till I am in rightful relationship with my Creator, and that Creator is God. And I can only be friends with God through faith in Christ. Because this God, who is also the powerful Creator and the loving, merciful God, is also holy and completely without fault. Which you and I know we are definitely not. So he comes to his senses and realizes who I am. I'm not this slave to pig farmers in a foreign country. No, I've really got a family. You know, I'm not worthy to be called a son, but I could go back there and I'm sure, I think, Maybe Dad will take me back and let me be a worker in his fields. That's who I really am. I'm not to be this person in a foreign land starving and feeding pigs. Now, he came to his senses, and when you come to your senses, it always involves repentance. You begin to understand that what this world has to offer, the creation, does not give me permanent satisfaction. What gives me permanent satisfaction is when I am in a relationship with the Creator, with God, and then I'm enjoying the things He's made and the way He wants me to enjoy them. And that's why we limit our sexual intimacy to marriage, because that's the best thing for you. It's the best thing for your mate. Other sexual activity destroys you. It hurts you. But he repented. Father, I have sinned. I have sinned. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he's already worked in his heart. Yeah, this is against God. But you know what? When there's real repentance involved, you go to the person you've offended. You know, you go to God and you go to the person you've sinned against as well. I mean, David rightly said, against you and you only, God, have I sinned. And this is when he sinned with Bathsheba and when he had Uriah killed. He still could say those words in Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned. But then he had to do right. He blessed... I'm sure Uriah's family that remained, but he took good care of Bathsheba. But he sinned. I have seen the Holy Spirit work in many of you, and I'm not out here to hang out dirty laundry, but some of our sin has been quite bad. And I've seen you humble yourself and go ask for forgiveness. And I've seen those people you've sinned against extend forgiveness. How can you do that except by the grace of God? You come to your senses and Holy Spirit reminds you what you really are. And I am. We are sinners. But we're sinners who are loved. Sinners who've been saved. Sinners who God always says, come stick with me. Walk with me. Step by step. I know you'll never let go. Okay. This guy could have made some excuses, but he didn't blame others or make excuses. I thought of a few of these. I got this from a guy. I thought it was pretty clever. You don't know what kind of brother I was living with. I had to leave. Some of you are teenagers gone, but some of you may have felt that way when you were a teenager. Man, I don't want to live with this family. I want to get out of here. And I've known people who've done that. And... you don't know what kind of brother I was living with. I had to leave. He doesn't say that. He says, my father shouldn't have given me the money. If he had withheld it, I wouldn't be in this mess. You know, Dad could have said no. He could have. But he didn't. So he's not blaming the situation or his father. Another one I like is, God, why did you send the famine? I had this great life all planned out. Bonnie's my wife. She's reading a book, Shattered Dreams by Larry Crabb. She's worked herself through that. And it's really one of her favorite books right now. So if you talk to her, she'll recommend you read it. But he talks about these different dreams. And things can happen that shatter your dreams, like a famine. Like war in Syria. Ebola. Financial collapse. These kind of things come. And they may affect us indirectly. And they may one day affect us directly. but don't blame God. He used that to turn this man's heart back to himself. And that was great. Okay, so with that in mind, not blaming others, making excuses, the prodigal son goes back. And not knowing what to expect other than that he won't be a son, but I'm going to be a servant for my father if he'll take me back. But this is when the good news breaks in, right? The dad, what's the father's reaction? He's moved with compassion. I like the old King James Version. It was bowels of mercy or going in here. Something's turning and churning in his stomach. He's so happy. And I wonder if this guy, if he went out every morning or in the evening to look out, see his, you know, you think my son's coming back today? Because he sees him from afar off. And so when he's moved with his compassion, his stomach is tied up in knots, boom, he hits the ground running. Guys, wearing these big robes and things, you know, you just don't run around. And for an Asian person, can you imagine some of these sheiks you see on TV? You imagine seeing them jogging? Not in that outfit, right? There's no way you're going to run. And the custom was there that a man would be very dignified, and you wouldn't run around like that as the owner of the farm, the estate. But he runs, and he embraces him. He kisses him. And he treats him like a son. He gives him gifts. He celebrates and has a big party. So this is one artist's depiction. Pop running to grab his son. Embraces him, gives him a kiss. Now, some of us, if we've been offended by one of our adult children, you know, they've stolen from us, they misuse our monies, they cause us a lot of headaches, we've had to go to court, Some parents go through that experience. It might have been yours already. And you had all these bad experiences, and then you're going, oh, I'm finally glad that the troublemaker's back. You know, now we. It takes a very gracious father to do that. And of course, I think this father illustrates the love of God the Father and welcoming this prodigal son back. Embraces him and kisses him. So one of the things we're trying to do to encourage our men on these Saturdays and other groups are that you will get into God's Word daily and grasp God's grace. I want you to be in the Word of God, not so you'll be very knowledgeable about the Bible, but I want you to experience in your life what you're coming here to experience on Sundays, but individually. You get a good hug from Father God through faith in Christ. As you have a quiet time, as you go and meet him in your word. Well, that said, look at these gifts. You know, you got the fatted calf. That's a little interesting calf. But the fatted calf is intentionally fattened, hand-fed. In other words, we're going to have a nice veal meal. We're going to have a very beautiful calf here when we have a big celebration. It might be Passover. These guys didn't celebrate Christmas. They don't know about that yet. But you know, whatever it is, this is going to be the special meal. This calf is set aside. The ring was probably a signet ring. It wasn't just a gold band. The robe, the best robe, means that within their clothing choice, they didn't have a wide range of clothing like you and I have. I mean, you know, am I going to put on my Nike shirt today or my Adidas shirt? Or, you know, am I going to wear a polo shirt or just a t-shirt? You know, we got all kinds of choices. These guys didn't. They only had three or four robes, but the very best one, I guess Father could have worn that. And they said, well, we're going to put this best one on him. And we're going to also give him some shoes, some sandals, because those who were servants wore no shoes. So the Father is saying in all these gifts, this is my son. We're not going to even go there and talk about you being a hard hand. No. You're not a servant. You're my son. And so the feast is going on. The older son is lost in work. And you're going to see what I think these three words characterize him. Look at me. Look at me. He's angry and he refuses to celebrate. He comes back. I guess he's been out in the field, whether it's late at night or he's out in the field and he heard the commotion, he came in, and he's wondering, what's going on, you know? What's all this music and people are dancing and happy? What's going on? And then they tell him that your brother is back and your father is having a party, celebrating that he's been lost and now he's found. But he's angry and he refuses to celebrate. So dad comes out and tries to console him and urge him to come back in and celebrate. But this is where he says, look at me, dad. Look, would you? Look, dad. All these years, I've always obeyed you. I got a few teenagers up on my left. Nahum, all these years you always obeyed your dad, right? You've never done anything wrong. So that's pretty cool. Can you imagine a kid being able to say that? An adult child? All these years I have always obeyed you. I can say that about me. I can't say it about my children. I think if we're honest with ourselves, none of us would ever make the statement to our parents, I always have obeyed you. Well, maybe. Okay. I have never even had a goat party with my friends. Have you guys ever had a goat party with your friends? Sandy has. Oh, a couple of goats here? Okay. All right. Not mutton curry, but anyway, whatever you call it. But this guy is saying, look, I've never had a party with my friends. Forget the family. I've never had a party with my friends. A little goat. Goats back then were the main type of food to eat as meat. But this lowlife, he doesn't call him his brother, actually. He calls him this son of yours. But this lowlife gets a fatted calf party. Now, you think that's fair? I've always obeyed you. And, you know, I've never even had any party. I've never asked you for any of these things. And look, this guy, he's gone and spent all your money on prostitutes. He's wasted it all. And now he comes back and you have the big party for him, giving him all these fancy gifts and stuff. I can't go in. There's no way. And the father's reaction. Should I read that one out loud? I don't know if I should do that in the pulpit. But, you know, if that was me, and some of you, I've heard you even say this phrase. You know, get yourself back in here, young man. You say you always obey me. You obey me now. Come and let's celebrate your brothers here, you know. No, he doesn't take that attitude. The father doesn't react that way. But he does say, all that is mine is yours. Remember, this guy left. He's already got his payday. Everything else that's left is yours. You know that? It's all yours. Including that fatted calf, it's yours. Go invite your 50,000 friends. I don't care how many. Bring them on in. We'll eat this fatted calf as long as it goes around. It's all yours. All that is mine is yours. And Father God says to you and me, all that is mine is yours. But I'm not talking on the material world. I'm talking about all the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Rich forgiveness of sin, perfection, glorification to come. It's all ours because of what? Because of this gift the Father gives to us through faith in Christ. All that is mine is yours. And it's fitting to celebrate and be glad for your brother. And he didn't say it's fitting and it's fitting to be to celebrate and be glad for this son of mine. No, your brother. So that's the beauty of when we take the table, the Lord's table, on the next week, and we're all here. You know, these are my brothers and my sisters in Christ and faith. We have one Father God, and I'm a sinner. That's a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all brothers. We're all part of this family of God. Save sinners through faith in Christ. Okay, the application. Which son do you identify with? The more I've looked at this scripture in the last few years, the more I'm convinced that we can flip-flop back and forth. You know, one time I live for pleasure, and I'm thinking that something here in this world and this creation satisfies me. And the other moment, I think, no, that's not what really satisfies me. But then I get to this work righteousness thing. I become very legalistic. And I think, look how hard I've worked, you know, and I'm doing all this praying, I'm doing all this stuff, and this guy's not doing all that stuff, and then you begin to compare yourself, and what do you find yourself? Like that elder son with no joy, The following Christ becomes a duty. It's not a celebration. And I don't want that to be your experience. And I don't want that to be my experience or the experience of my children or my family. I want us to follow Christ out of thanksgiving. I want us to be obedient people because we know that that works for us. It's good for us. It brings Father God glory. But he doesn't want us to be rule keepers. He wants us to be in relationship with him. So which son do you identify with? You can answer your own heart. Some weeks might be more like the prodigal. Other weeks, more like the older brother, trying to earn in the father's love, thinking we're better than the other guy. Well, the answer is to live a life of repentance. Now, when we first come to faith, and this is teenager guys, let me wake you up for a minute, okay? Up there on the name, get those guys, just pay attention for this one, and then you go back soon. I thought that being a Christian, you come to faith at one point, you raise your hand, you go down the aisle, you repent, and then you receive Jesus, okay? It's not that. It's a life of repentance. Continually coming to the Father for his joy and delighting in him. And how do you do that? Well, one of the ways you get the delight in him is that he forgives you. When you've lost it with your parents, when you got mad, when you got angry with a friend and you said something or you text something or you did something to them and you shouldn't really have and you feel really miserable about it. And how do you handle that stuff? Well, you confess that stuff. You repent again. But it's basically doing life with God. Being a Christian isn't about coming to church, but it's doing life with God. And we all have to make sure, continually, have I done today with God? You know, where was God in all this? Some of us like sports, you know. Whatever it is, you know, are we doing this with God? Go to the movie. We hope to go to the movie tomorrow as a family. You know, God's going to go to the movie with us too, you know. How do you do this? Do life with God. So live a life of repentance. Not living a life where James is king or just James doing life on his own. No, I live a life with God. Opens up a lot of questions. How do you do that? Celebrate new life with God. That's the repentant life. I'm always believing that. You know, Jesus told his disciples, this is the work of God that you believe in the one who is sent. Believe in Christ. Christ loves you and gives you Holy Spirit, and he wants the best for you and your family. And as you love him and follow him, you will find, yeah, I live to follow Christ. I serve him. I live to become more like him. I live to enjoy him. And as that Holy Spirit works in me, I become like Jesus more and more, which is why I was created to be. A God reflector created in the image of God. How many of you have seen a friend come to faith this summer? Anybody? Family member? Friend? Really? That's good, yeah. Okay. Nam, is that a secret? Nam. Deepak, is that a secret signal or something? I don't know. But Nancy, that's great. People come to faith, how? Usually by people like you and I just talking about Jesus. There's all kinds of factors in God working in different ways. Sometimes he may be putting hardships in a friend's life. Really, really hard things have hurt. But then they come to their senses and they realize, what is life all about? What really satisfies me? May God have mercy on you and I and make us a people who speak of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And I say that to myself too. Don't be ashamed. Speak to our friends. And when somebody comes to faith, I'm going to celebrate. Dario Terzi and family are flying out today to La Paz, Bolivia. And they had a little get together at Hemingway's last night, you know, and I can't go to Hemingway's. I mean, Dario and his family come down here on Sunday and we bless them, you know, and everything. But their time schedule doesn't allow. You know, don't be afraid to hang out at Hemingway's. Don't get me wrong, teenagers, all right? I don't think any of us think we're too righteous. But, you know, sometimes you've got to go meet our friends where they are. They're not going to come here into this building. But we go meet them. It doesn't have to be over alcoholic beverages. It can be anywhere, in any place, any setting. But ask yourself, how many non-Christian friends are my friends? How many non-Christians am I relating to? Well, if we want to celebrate new life with God, we've got to get out there and mingle. And that's the only thing I would say for this application. Let's pray. I want you to answer this question in your heart while your head's bowed. Is your relationship with God more of a celebration or a work of duty? Is your relationship with God more of a celebration or a work of duty? Those are the foot noises of our teens coming down. That's good. Is there something other apart from God that you seek to bring you more meaning, love, security in life, a sense of well-being than God Himself? That's what the young prodigal was looking for. And quite frankly, all my teenage friends, you may think that your friendships are more important than God Himself. You may think a boyfriend or a girlfriend is more important than God Himself. For those of us who are married, we may think our husband or our wife is more important than God Himself. We may think our children are more important than God Himself. We may think earning money is more important than God Himself. We may think being first in our class is more important than God Himself. Father God, I thank you for your word, and I need to preach the gospel to myself fresh every day. And this is one of those passages that just says, come and really do life with God, because that's what works. Not partying. Parties are fun, and they're to be celebrations. We are to have special meals times and great times and fun times. And I know when we get to heaven, we'll do that. And I just pray, Lord, that when people see DBICC, and I've heard these testimonies even this summer of how what a loving congregation this is. And so we pray, continue to use us to make friends with those who don't know you yet. And as I saw Nancy and Ben's hands go up, we praise you, God, for all that you're doing and the friends of theirs who have come to faith. Continue to build them up. Father, we thank you for the Terzi family and your blessings on Dario and Liliana, Jada and Kristen as they go to La Paz, Bolivia. And I pray that you would give them a home church where they fit and they grow more and more in love with you. And so for us who are here in DB, for us at DBICC, do work in our small groups. Do work in Extreme and Sold Out. And senior kids and junior kids, Lord, just make us a people who really understand your goodness, your love. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.